It's your time for a breakthrough. It's your time to receive a word from God. For we still believe
in the power of miracles.
And we still believe that God can deliver.
Yes, we still believe
that Christ is the answer.
Of Isaiah, the 59th chapter, we're going to talk from in the 19th verse. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit, capital S, of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Will you look at the one next to you? Look them in the face, eyeball to eyeball contact, and repeat after me these words. Neighbor, you've got what it takes to overcome the flood. Say it again. You got what it takes to overcome the flood. Amen. Now, you know if you got Jesus, you know you got what it takes. If you've got Jesus, you've got just what it takes to overcome the flood. For he is our helper that amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. We're living in the times of floods. But thank God that God has given us what it takes to overcome the floods. I find that it isn't, oh, how must I say this, because people always look for a loophole to jump through, you know. But sometimes it isn't always how strong you are, but it's how much you believe. Sometimes the devil will make you feel you've got to be strong in everything to overcome everything. But sometimes you can be strong in everything else but what you should be strong in to overcome. In other words, if I'm strong in my testimony and strong in prayer and strong in praises and weak in faith, when I need faith for me to overcome, all that other strength don't help me right through there. Now, it'll help me in other incidents, but not through there. Sometimes a person that's not too strong in a lot of other things can be strong in the fact that, hey, God is going to carry me over, and I've got faith to believe that God is going to see me through. Sometimes you've got people that's simple, that believe, hey, listen, God is a healer, children, and they just believe it and God heals them. Then sometimes you get Star War missionaries. Sometimes you get Star War prayer warriors and saints that know the move of the Spirit but don't have faith for God to move a headache out of their head. So you see, I'm convinced that it isn't always those that spiritual supermen that always overcome, but it's really those that can believe God. All right, you take the little child, a little childlike faith. That child's got faith, and you keep telling that child you're gonna bring him something, don't do it. That child is gonna say, hey, you're gonna trick us. But basically, the children have faith to believe. I could tell one of them right now to jump off this pulpit. I'll catch you. And they will jump before I tell them, jump, I'll catch you. Before I reach my hand out, they've jumped because they've got faith to believe that I'll catch them. But I dare some of you old heads sitting around here, I can get 10 men and say, look, jump, we got you. And you sure? Wait, be sure. Are you ready? All right, yeah, one for the money, two for the... And we just, oh God. Now that child isn't as strong as you are, but they are strong as far as simplicity and faith is concerned. And as sure as you walk with God, I don't care what you teach and how much you teach and how simple you make this thing, as people of God, you're going through the flood. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but it's all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song, and we can sing that song in the night season all the day long. You're going to go through the flood, but then when you come out a winner. You come out more powerful. You come out more sure-footed. You come out more determined. You come out with more faith. You come out with another level in God. God is not going to let no true child of God go through nothing in faith without them coming up a notch higher. Some of you wouldn't be where you are now if you hadn't went through and stood the test. You talking about graduation. You talking about promotion. Promotion comes not from the east, west, or the south, but it comes from God. And little did some of you know when you was going through the fire and you were crying and going through the test, that time you felt disappointed, that time you felt left out, that time you felt lonely, God was elevating you. I mean, he was letting you go through these things, you know what I mean? And there's some of you sitting here and some of you listening to me, you could really write a book. You feel you can't write a book because you don't know how to write a book. But honey, you could put it on tape and let somebody else put it in words as far as your experience is concerned. There's some people in the that's in the pew. There's some people, lay members in many churches, that have experienced enough to put some folks that claim to be apostles and bishops and evangelists and preachers, to put them to an open shame as far as their experience and what they have gone through because they love the Lord. Hallelujah. David said, it was good that I was afflicted, or I would have gone astray. Everything that hits the earth naturally so hits us spiritually from the spiritual aspect. All right, what hits the earth? The winds, earthquakes, storms, floods of life. You have the Euroclidean wind, which is an east wind. Then you have the west wind, I think that brings the gentle breezes. The southern winds that bring the rain. You have the north wind that bring the winds of devastation, that brings cold. You have the trade winds by the equator that brings the crisscross trade winds. You have, and just like you have the different types of winds that attacks the earth, you're going to find the devil is going to send contrary winds to attack our earthen vessels. Mm-hmm. Now you have what is called two types of floods. You have two types of floods. You have what is called the seacoast flood, and that's caused by unusual high winds or a tidal wave. Then you have what is called the river flood. Now the river flood is caused by exceptionally a lot of rain or snow or melted ice. That's why many times during the spring of the year, you have a lot of floods in the land, because the ice from the winter is melting from the high land and it's rushing down and it overflows the riverbeds, and the river is not able to contain that much water for that time. And then you have land that's below sea level, they will have a problem. So just like you have what is called the high wind or the tidal wave flood, and just like you have the rain from too much rain or snow or melted ice, so it is with you and I in this earthen vessel. We're going to have spiritual floods to contend with. And the text explains it. When the enemy come in like a flood. And in order to understand how the enemy come in, then you've got to study up on a flood and study what happens when a flood comes. He says, well, now just like the enemy, when the enemy come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Oh, praise God. Now when a flood comes naturally, so everything a flood does naturally is what it does to us spiritually if we allow ourselves to be affected by it that much. The first thing a flood does when it comes is cover the land. And I'm here to let you know, the enemy will come in like a flood, and the purpose of him coming in like a flood is to bury you. I mean, he wants to cover you up. Listen, I want you to know, he wants to carry you under. That's all it is to it. I don't care how sincere you are, how much you love God, how you treat everybody right, how you don't bother nobody. The devil has a plan to cover you up. He has a plan to drown you. He has a plan to drown you one way or the other. Now, just like a flood covers the land, number two, it wipes out homes. It wipes out home. What the devil want to do is just wipe out everything you've tried to do. Wipe out your good works. He wants to wipe out your good name. The Bible said a good name is better chosen than riches. When you got a good name, that's better than riches. Some folks got good riches but got a bad name. But when you got a good name and people can speak well of you, I don't mean everybody, because the Bible says, woe when every man speak well of you. But the devil wants to wipe you out. Can you understand that? There's no need in looking surprised and wondering why these things be. I'm here to tell you, the devil comes in like a flood and he's out to wipe you out. He's out to wipe you out. I keep telling you, you're not going to give those testimonies. You're not going to give those testimonies of victory. You're not going to help folk and folk deliver through you, and people inspired and encouraged, and people have been saved and delivered through you, and you've laid hands on folks and they've gotten filled with the Holy Ghost, and people been blessed through your life and through your words of comfort and consolation and through your testimony, your ministry, your teaching and your preaching. You're not going to get away with that as far as the devil is concerned. The devil is out to wipe you out. And in order to wipe you out, he'll try to come in as a flood and try to wipe out your good name, your good works, and everything else. When a flood comes, naturally so, it destroys property. I mean all of your good works. Everything that you have achieved spiritually, the devil is out to destroy. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I ordained you that you should go out and bear much fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. That your fruit shall remain. That your fruit shall remain. So the devil said, then I'm going to do all I can to destroy your fruit. I'm going to destroy the property. Everything that God has done in you, to you, with you, and for you, I'm going to wipe it out. I'm going to try to destroy it if I possibly can. Not only that, but when a flood comes, it carries off the rich topsoil. And don't leave nothing but just stuff you can't work with. That's the way the devil does. He'll take and destroy your good works and just leave you with nothing you cannot work with. It takes the rich topsoil and leave the soil that can't nothing grow by. This is the purpose of the enemy. When a flood comes, naturally so, it leaves the land barren. How many folks you got in the church world today that's barren? I mean, they don't have no testimony, don't have no zeal, don't have no determination, don't have no perseverance. I mean, just come and set like a frozen ship out on a frozen sea. I mean, looking just like a mannequin downtown in the window. My God, and when you look and see, look like they have forgotten what God had did for them. They've forgotten what God had brought them. I'm going to tell you what the devil is doing. He's out to let you look good but barren. He's out for you to have something but just be barren. But you don't ever want to be barren. When it comes down to the praises of God, when it comes down to the anointing of God, when it comes down to having church, there's a part of you that should change. I don't care how you look. I don't care if you dress like one of the knights. I don't care. I don't care if you dress like one of the knights. If you dress like Queen Elizabeth, when it come down to praising God, say, I got to get out of this app and just come on down and enjoy the God of my salvation. Oh, yeah. He wants to leave you barren. He'll leave you sitting up there with everything God has done for you and be barren by it. Folks don't believe this. You can have a testimony, I mean, from the basement to the fifth floor. But if you're barren in your spirit, nothing in you want to tell it. No inspiration in you to tell it. But when you start saying to the devil, devil, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it. The devil say, if you don't tell it, I'll give you this. Listen, I'm going to tell it. Listen, if you don't tell it, I'll give you this. I'm going to tell it. What are you going to tell? I'm going to tell where God brought me from. I'm going to tell what he saved me from. I'm going to tell him the waters he drew me out of. The devil want to leave you barren. But you tell the devil, I refuse to be barren. I'm going to break forth on the left and on the right. I mean, look, whatever fruit he want on my tree, that's what I want to bring forth. I don't want to be named no apple tree without one apple on the tree. I don't want to be named a peach tree with no peaches on my tree. But whatever fruit I am that he want me to be, a tree planted by the rivers of water, I want to bear that fruit. And the reason why I don't want to be barren, because Jesus cursed the fig tree. He cursed the fig tree because it was barren. It was planted in the best location. It was taking up space. And Jesus cursed that fig tree. Listen, folks, I don't want the Lord cursing me, but I want to be able to break forth on the left, and I want to be able to break forth on the right. I want to be able to enjoy and appreciate the joy of my salvation. And then last, but by no means least, when a flood comes, it leaves an epidemic. And the reason why it leaves an epidemic, because when the waters begin to rise, and if the flood comes maybe from Lake Michigan, then there are blocks and there are houses that it's got to surpass before it gets to State Street. By that time, it's picked up dead dogs. It's picked up dead rats and dead cats. And my God, the water has become contaminated. And it's something about a flood. And you can get electrocuted in the water, because when the power lines fall, it causes the water to generate electricity. And so many times, epidemics from dead animals and dead people where their bodies have swollen and burst, and my God, corruption has set in. And when that water begins to hit in your direction, it brings about an epidemic. And this is what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to grab your past, the things that God saved you from, the things that God brought you out of. He's trying to make it an epidemic out of it. He's trying to make your past look like a ghost. He's trying to bring your past before you and spook you with your past. Oh yes, he is. He's saying you're not going to ever amount to nothing because of what you did before you got saved. And he's trying to take your past and make an epidemic out of it. Oh yes, he's coming in just like a flood. And you know, there's many of you that's in what you call a love flood. Well, Brother Hinton, that's the kind of flood I'd love to be in. No, you don't know the love I'm talking about. I'm talking about a one-sided love flood. When you in love with somebody that don't love you, you can be married to them, but they still don't like you. You give them your check and they still don't like you. They're not faithful. They won't live right. They're soon as hopping to bed with somebody else as to look at you. And you can't trust them, but you still love them. You hate the way they're treating you, but they still don't love you. That's a flood. That's a flood. When something in you hate yourself for loving someone that don't even deserve your love. Oh yes, you in a flood. You're caught into something, because love is stronger than death. And even though it's a one-sided thing, when you wake up, it's still there. The more they mistreat you, look like the more you love them. And you want to kick yourself for being like that. You're caught up in a love flood because it's a one-sided thing. But I just heard from heaven, and he said, when the enemy come in, even like a love flood, I'll raise up a standard against you. There's some of you sitting here, you're caught up in a financial flood. Oh, look like those bills are coming around twice a month instead of once a month. Hitting it don't seem right. I'm caught up in a financial flood, and it's not mine. You're co-signed for somebody, and they act like they don't want to pay. And you're sitting there wondering. They're coming up with new clothes and new cars and won't pay, and you've co-signed. They've got to see you, and they're shouting all around you and tap dancing and speaking in tongues. My God, and you wonder, how can they do it? You're in a financial flood. Every time you get ready to pray, Sears appears before you, car note and house note, utility bills, telephone bills, running your telephone bill up. It don't seem fair. You know where every dime of it is going before you make it. You're just working to pay bills. You're caught up in a financial flood. Then some of you are caught up in a domestic flood, where it looks like your home is going to pieces. You're trying to save it. It takes two to keep a home together. But the husband is pulling, and you're pulling the other way. Or the wife is pulling one way and the husband is pulling another. You're trying to save your family. You're trying to save the children. You're trying to get in the other one's mind. Don't do this. This is destroying the children, fighting over one another's head, cursing over the children's head. It's destroying the family, but one of them don't see it. You're caught up in a domestic flood. Some of you are caught up in a lonely flood. You're just lonely. Why am I so lonely? You've got nieces and nephews. You got uncles and aunts. You've got mothers and fathers. You got relatives. You've got so-called friends, and yet you are lonely. You're in a crowd, but you're lonely. When you go home at night, your spirit sinks into loneliness. Why do these things be? I'm caught up in a lonely flood. I'm caught up in a hurt flood. People will hurt you and have the nerve to tell you, get over it. And they're the ones that'll hurt you. And look like it's so easy to retaliate over them kind. It's so easy to take those kind and anoint them heavily with oil, you know what I mean? But then you're hurt. And look like the hurt won't leave. Look like you can't overcome the hurt. The hurt has taken your appetite. The hurt has taken your strength. You feel like somebody fasting because it's taken all your inspiration. You're caught up in a hurt flood. Then some of you, you're in a flood of sickness and you don't understand. You don't know why. I'm caught up in a flood of sickness. Elder Hinton, I trust God all I know. I pray for so many others, but I go home and twist and turn and agonizing from pains and sickness. I don't understand it. I'm caught up in a sick flood. Why am I afflicted? Why can't I ever get well? My body is suffering with pains. My health I can't regain. My soul is wandering deep in despair, but he knows the pains you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. You're caught up in a sick flood. You're caught up in a sick flood. You got your Bible open on your dresser. You got your Bible open by the midnight stand. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You got your Bible open to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Hidden, my Bible is open to the scriptures of healing, and I'm still sick. Neighbor, you're in a flood, but God told me to tell you, don't you worry, don't you worry. He's coming like a flood, but the Spirit will lift up a standard. Yes, he will. There's some of you listening tonight. You're caught up in a flood of bondage. It don't make sense. You've been so used to being free. Your spirit has been so used to being free. And Elder Hinton, you know when you're free and ever get bound, you'll never feel right. Some folk been bound all their life. Some folk been bound years they've been in church. So they're comfortable. But when you've been a free person, when you've had liberty in your spirit, when you've had liberty in your life, when you've had liberty in service, you don't feel right bound. You feel like the songwriter, the Lord saved me, and why should I be bound? Can you say yeah? Say yeah. He's coming on you like a flood, but God knows how to lift up a standard. I don't care how long the flood has been. Sometimes it's all you can do is keep your head above the waves. Sometimes it's all you could do is stand on your tiptoes and keep your head above the waves to keep from going over. But I'm here to tell you, the devil is not going to carry you under. Yes! Yes, he's not gonna carry you under. Hey, glory. Hey, glory. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. You don't have to worry. Keep your hand in God's hand. The flood won't carry you under. You've been used to being free. When God saved you, he made you a free agent. When God saved you, he made you a free woman. He made you a free man. But the devil is trying to tie you up, wrap you up, tangle you up. Because when you're bound, you don't have joy. When you're bound. Send a spiritual tidal wave to try to over-engulf you. I heard David say, the waters have gone over even to my soul, but God, he made a way. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He's my lifeboat. He's my lifesaver. He's my lifeline. He's my lifeguard. Yeah. He won't let you go under. Let the flood come. Let the flood come. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Let the flood come. I'm anchored in Jesus. I'm anchored in Jesus. Yes. Yes. You may not be a millionaire, but I came to tell you, if you know Jesus, you got what it takes to overcome the flood. You've got what it takes to stand the test. Greater he that is in you. Through him that loves us, you got what it takes, because he said, thanks be to God, which causes us to triumph. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let the storm rise. Let the billows rage. Let lightning crack the sky. Thank God I know I got Jesus in my soul. The storm is passing over. Jesus. You got what it takes to stand the flood.